time. If you ain't at a party, take your ass back home. If you get it naughty, baby, here's my phone.
We're back. Cause you so chunky. All right, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, ready to chop up some real, real good game. We had some technical difficulties earlier, but now we're back. I think we got the problem resolved. The phone number to call, ladies and gentlemen, is 818-850-5404, doing that late night show tonight. Call me up with whatever questions you have. And what we're going to do, we're going to go to a real quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Don't you go nowhere, fam.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up, and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize.
Oh, we are back. Now we're back. We got it together. All right, fam. I think we got everything working right. We had some technical issues a few seconds ago, but I think we are back up and running. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have y'all tuning in for the late night Ism, the late night game. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone number again is 818-850-5404. I hope y'all asses got your hidden colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs. If you don't have those, you are slipping. You can get those at hiddencolorsfilm.com. Hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see who we got on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling on the phone right now. Let's see if they can hear me now. What's up? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Mr. Nasheed?
Yes. Who am I talking to?
Matt.
Matt, where are you calling from, Matt?
I'm calling from Oklahoma.
All right. What's on your mind, Matt?
Hey, I had a question for you. But first, I want to say I appreciate everything you do. It's an honor to be on the phone with you, and I'm a big fan.
Much respect, man.
I have a question. I just got finished ordering some books. I got some of Dr. Ben's books and Dr. Clyde Aronson's Paranomics book. My problem is I have no game, and I'm trying to find a girlfriend right now. I'm in my upper 20s. What book do you recommend I get of yours?
Okay. Definitely get The Art of Mackin. Get my book, okay. The Art of Mackin. Start with that, and then get my book, The Mac Within. And to really seal your game real tight, get the elite way. Now, you said you're in your upper 20s. Now, how old are you?
I'm 27, sir.
Okay. You sound much older, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're an old soul, brother. You're an old soul. So, when was the last time you were in a relationship?
I have never been in one, to be honest.
Oh, damn. You never been in a relationship?
No, sir.
Now, why? Now, are you an African-American? Are you a Caucasian gentleman? What are you?
I'm a melanoid gentleman. I'm African American.
There you go. So how come you never been, you're 27 years old, you've never been in a relationship? You have any kind of physical deformities or anything like that? Everything all right with you?
No, sir, not at all. Everything's good. Just been caught up, kind of, to be honest, put all my work in school and just never, just shy, to be honest, shy.
Now, how long have you been shy? Where did the shy thing start? Because there's always a genesis to the shy thing. Something happened to create this type of shyness.
I think, to be honest, I grew up in a henny penny, Oklahoma, and I was the only black guy down there. And I mean, you can kind of feel the racist tension, and I think that's where it came from.
Making a little sense. So you like grew up as like the only black guy in basically a predominantly white town, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so in those little small Oklahoma towns, it was like, you know, hands off the white gals, you know?
Yes. And it was kind of funny. I went back from school and because I'm finishing my master's now, and I mean, everybody was telling, how you feel about Donald Trump winning, smiling like it was an insult to me or something like that. So it's pretty wild down there. And actually, I hear you talk about the gentleman who was raping all these sisters down there, the police officer. He's actually from that area.
Oh, wow.
They kept saying that he was Asian, but he's really a white male because my family knows him.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, you grew up in that area. Now, is your mother or father white?
No, sir.
Now, how'd you grow up in one of those towns?
My dad was from that town, and I guess he just never left.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you got both
and
of your...
my mother and father separated at a young age. Yes.
Oh, okay. So both of your parents are black.
Yes, sir.
And you stayed with your father. Where's your mother?
My mother lives in Ocho Rios, Jamaica.
Oh, damn. Okay. Have you ever been out there before?
I have not. My mom kind of walked out on us, and I just never kind of stayed in touch.
Oh. Now, how old were you when this happened?
I was 10 years old.
And you haven't seen your mother since you were 10?
We talk on the phone, but just not going down there and visiting, sir.
So you talk to her, but when was the last time you've seen your mother?
Last time I physically seen her was when I was 15.
Wow.
She was down here.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
And see, this is why I like to get into people's backgrounds to see what's the root of their shyness, what's the root of their relationships not blossoming, I mean.
Yes.
And that, your upbringing has a lot to do with it. The
yes, sir.
Feeling of abandonment by your mother, the not
yes.
being able to trust women. Because I know a lot mm-hmm. of dudes, if you have a mother that just kind of dipped out, that's real heavy for a kid when your mom dip out like that. So that kills
yes, sir.
A lot of trust. It kills a lot of confidence. You don't know what women are capable of if your own mom will do something like that. So
yes.
a lot
yes,
of sir. we got to resolve that. You got to understand that everybody isn't like your mother. You can mm-hmm. trust some people. There's some people that's going to rock with you and be there for you, because in your mm-hmm. mind, in the back of your mind, it's like, okay, if I commit, is this chick going to dip out like my fucking mom? And
yes.
I don't see her, and I done loved her, and I don't want that kind of pain again. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, sir.
I feel you. Big time. So what I want you to do is understand that you couldn't control what your mom did. You couldn't control mm-hmm. her actions. You know, that was what it was. It had nothing to do with you. Your mom had some shit going on with her and your dad. Who knows what that is? It has nothing to do with
yes.
you. You couldn't control that at all. But you can control your reaction to that. You understand?
Okay.
So
yes,
at
sir.
This point on, we're not going to let your mother bouncing and going to Jamaica, leaving the country, that's not going to hinder you anymore. You need to say, hey, that had nothing to do with me. I'm not going to be imprisoned by that mm-hmm. type of abandonment that my mother's shown me. There's people out there that's going to rock with me, and you're going to get rid of that abandonment spirit, because we hold on to these spirits and we have to exercise these shits and enjoy life and let people enjoy us and you enjoy them. There's a beautiful life out there, man. And I know it was really difficult dealing with your mom bouncing, but it's time to bounce and let that slide. It's time for you to start enjoying life and relationships. You feel me?
Yes. Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Man, thank you for the call, brother. I didn't want to get too preachy on the dude. My bad. I didn't want to get too preachy. But yeah, that's heavy, man. That's a real heavy thing, man. If your mom bounce on you like that. That's a real heavy thing. Let me get another call here. What's going on? Who's calling?
Yes. Hi, Tariq.
Yes, who is this?
Hi, my name is Ms. Love and Light.
Ms. Love and Light, where are you calling from?
Yes. I'm calling from San Francisco Bay Area.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
I'm calling you. I want to let you know that I'm probably one of your older listeners and supporters.
Now, how old are you? How old are you? How old are you, Ms. Love and Light?
Well, I'm old. I'm kind of old, okay?
Old is gold. Old is gold. Old is gold.
No, it's not, Tariq. No, age is just a number now.
Gold, like golden. Old is gold, like it's valuable. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, got it. Exactly. Yeah. All right. I couldn't hear you too good.
Yes, ma'am.
But, I was just calling. I wanted to let you know. I didn't want another show to go by. I'm calling to give you some kudos. I wanted to let you know you're doing a great work, young man. And, there's a lot of masters and teachers out here, but they're masters and teachers. There's nobody around, really, with the exception maybe of Mr. Jason Black.
Yes.
Who is really doing anything tangible.
Yes, indeed.
And I just wanted to commend you for saying what you're going to do, for doing what you say you're going to do. That is... you don't run across that a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to let you know you have, as you know, you have a lot of jealous detractors.
Oh, yeah.
Which the haters are always going to be, nipping at your heels. But just keep up the good work. Stay humble. You're very humble. That is such a beautiful characteristic to have. Also, you are funny. You could always turn to comedy because you're funny. And you have a beautiful family, and I love you. And I really appreciate everything you do, and I am a supporter.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ms. Love and Life. I'm going to find out how old you are, too, one day. I'm going to find out. All right, Ms.
Okay, Tariq. You have a good one now.
Thank you, dear. That's Ms.
Love. All right.
Miss Love and
okay,
Light.
Bye-bye.
All right. She's an older sister. Let me play some for Miss Love and Light. Hold on. You better think about it twice. Let me play some for Miss Love and Light. That's for her. Because she's old school. We got to go old school. That's for you, Miss Love and Light. Come on now. Who's making love to your old lady while you were out making love? That's for you, Miss Love and Light. You know what's funny? I dated a chick back in the 90s. And I dated this chick, and she had an old-sounding voice. She sounded, the Miss Love and Light kind of reminded me of this chick I dated. It was a young girl that I dated. And I was young, too, so y'all don't think it's some perverted bullshit. But I was 23. I was dating this chick. She was a college girl. She was 22. But she looked younger. She looked like she was about 19. But her ass sounded like she was 82 fucking years old. She was a young chick who sounded mad old for her age. And I think because she was raised by like a bunch of elderly women, like her grandma, her aunt. And it sounded weird dating this fine ass girl who sounded elderly when she talked. And it wasn't sexy. We try to do the do and she got that old, we'd be talking to her, hey, baby, what you doing, baby? Okay, I'm like, is this her mom on the phone? I'm like, who the fuck is on the phone? But she would talk like that in person. Like, where we gonna go to the movies, baby? Why the fuck is she talking like this? You're one of them old soul chicks, yeah. And the thing is, she would use, not only did her voice sound old, she would use old terms. You gonna come over here and sock it to me, baby? Like, what? Am I gonna sock it to you? Well, how old are you? You gonna give it to me like I like, baby? I'm like, okay. And we doing the do. She making them old lady sounds.
That's it, baby. Do it like that, sugar. You know what I like, baby.
Oh, goodness. Am I having sex with Cicely fucking Tyson? Why are you talking like this? My God. Wasn't sexy at all. I wanted her to just kind of be quiet. Like, show you right, baby.
Whoop, there it is, honey.
Like, good Lord, lady. Why are you young and sound like a fucking senior citizen?
You want some of this mamma jamma, baby?
Okay. Lord. But I digress. And she was fine as hell, too. She was real fine. Real fine, that chick. I wonder what happened to her ass. And she had, I think she, I forgot her name. Somebody had said her name sound old. I think she did have one of them old names, like Gladys or some shit. I think like a 22-year-old chick named Mabel. She did have one of them old names. I can't remember what it was, though. I remember her face, like, clear as day. I'm real bad on names sometimes. All right, man, what's up? Who's on the phone?
Hello, this is Jay calling from the Bay.
Jay from the Bay, man. What's going on with you, fam?
All right, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you. You've been a great inspiration to myself. You actually went as far as changing my major to become a political science major so I can help combat the system of white supremacy.
Hey, man, respect. The reason why respect. Go ahead.
So, yeah, well, thank you for that. But the reason why I'm calling is I've been involved with this woman for quite some time now, and she happens to be white.
Oh.
With my newfound conscious, with my newfound conscious ideology, obviously becoming more consciously aware, and I know not too many members of the conscious community are receptive of quote unquote swirling. So I want to know what is your views on that.
So you swirling with this chick? Now, how long you been dancing? You been dealing with the white girl?
I've been with her for a while.
Like what's
and she knows about my new conscious ideology. She totally supports it. She's not against it at all. She's not a suspected white supremacist. So
So you said she's not against it. So how is she assisting you? Because like I said, I tell dudes if you're dating the white girls, you need to have them working as spies. That's the only reason I can justify you doing that. They have to be working as spies. They need to be constantly getting intel, letting you know what's happening in white society. They need to be secretly taping people. They need to be feeding us intel at all times if brothers choose to date white women. So what is she doing?
What she's doing now is that she is actually encouraging me as far as my academics goes. To push me going through school because she knows what I want to do.
Okay.
So as far as that goes, that's what she's doing. I mean, she's not against anything that I say or talk about.
Because the thing is, because the thing is, man, instead of y'all turning them out, see, if you date anybody, especially somebody that you can utilize to help empower your community, so you got to turn them out. Mm-hmm. The thing is, y'all let the white girls turn y'all out. So you end up acting her.
Not me, no.
All right, I'm just saying. No. I don't want to see your ass, you know. You be driving around bumping this. This you. Drinking a fucking Budweiser with her ass.
No. I'm a cognac man. So just got to be
all right, nigga, you drive around with her ass, and you got the perm in your fucking hair and some blue contact lenses. Eating a mayonnaise sandwich and shit. Fucking A. Interracial relationships fucking rule, dude. You know, they be turning y'all niggas out and you be on cocaine and shit. Fuck it, I'm blowed, dude. I'm fucking so high. Come on, Catherine. Give me another fucking Coors Light. Can't start a fire. All right, y'all niggas be getting them white girls and don't know how to damn act, man. You be getting
me, man. I keep it thorough, man.
All right.
I keep it thorough, brother.
Okay.
thank you, brother, for taking my call. And we'll hold you up.
By the way, how old is your white girl, by the way?
How old is she?
How old is she?
Oh, she's 29.
Okay, now how old are you?
30.
Oh, okay. Y'all got any kids, by the way?
Yeah, well, I'm not at liberty to say, but...
I mean, that's a yes or no damn question. I mean...
yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay. Let me see. Is it her kids and you're just raising them?
It's our kids.
So why was that so hard to say, brother? Now, why was that so hard to say?
Oh, no, it's not hard to say at all.
Okay, but she done got you confused already, man. She done. I know the consequence. What y'all do on Thanksgiving? Did y'all eat at her house or did y'all go to your mama's house? What y'all do?
We went to my mama's house.
Oh, okay.
She loves her cooking. So, I mean,
Are you cool with her family or did they disown her or what's the deal?
Oh, no. Everybody's cool for the most part and everything. And if they do have any white supremacist propensities, they keep everything cordial and not disrespectful or anything at all.
you kind of vague with the information, nigga. They were like, come on, what's your name again? What is your name again, brother?
I'm Jay from the Bay.
Jay from the Bay. Like, come on over, fucking Jay. We got fucking food. They're like, come on, Jay. This is them. Come have Thanksgiving, Jay. You want to know what we got, bud? We got squash, spam, mayonnaise, potatoes, rhubarb, granola. You name it, dude. Rhubarb, spam, squash, granola, rhubarb, sparse, red granola. We got mayonnaise, quiche, rhubarb, veal, seal, bananas, rhubarb, mayonnaise. You name it, fucking Jay. All right, man. Let me stop fucking with you. All right, Jay,
thank you for taking my call.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Jay's ass.
No problem.
Jay's ass, man. All right. Let me put my Mac and music on. Where's my Mac? Where is my Mac and music, family? Oh, man. Yeah, somebody in the room said he's in love with that snow. Yes, he is. That nigga's in love, man. Somebody in the chat room asked if I read the Monahan report. Yeah, I have. Man. Say he has some shepherd's pie. That nigga had goddamn squash, spam, tomatoes, rhubarb, mayonnaise, licorice. You name it. What is Peanut looking at me for? Hold on. I'm in my office, my new office, and Peanut's at the glass. Looking at me. Her ass need to be upstairs with the kids. Let me see who's on the phone, man. Let me get into some game in a minute. I'm having so much fun chopping it up with the family tonight, man. What's up? Who's calling? Uh-oh. Let's try one more goddamn time, everybody. What's up? Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Zena Campbell.
Hey, Zena. How are you, love?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Why are you trying to sound all sultry and sexy and shit? What's happening with you?
Nah, I wasn't trying to sound like that.
You are. You sound like one of them old evil chicks. You be fucking niggas and then stealing their wallets. You want
to... No, I've been married for 20 years.
Oh, Lord. 20 years. What is y'all secret?
Well, is this communication, and we took divorce as an option out.
Oh.
There's no option. Divorce is not an option, so when you take that out, you just have to make it work.
There you go. Hey, I love that. That's all I say about me and Peanut. We ain't getting divorced for shit. That ain't happening.
I told him, I don't care what's going on. I told him, you can't leave if you ain't got no legs. I chop them off at the femur bone.
So y'all going to be together. So what's on your mind, sweetie? What's happening with you?
Well, you know what? I've been wanting to call in for a minute because I follow you on Twitter. And what really kind of moved me was when you was retweeting all the racist things.
Oh, yeah.
That people were saying and things like that. And we have 5 daughters. 3 of them are grown and 2 are still at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids, the 2 youngest ones, they kind of really don't even believe that racism still exists. And I thought, I kind of was like, wow, trying to, you know, see the world through their eyes. And they really don't believe that. So I was showing them that. And I remember when Donald Trump got elected, my 16-year-old, she said, Mom, she said, are we going to go back to slavery now that he's elected? And I was so, like, at a loss for words.
Wow.
Because, you know, for my daughter to ask that, you know, I was like, what do I say? Because she's not like the average daughter. She watches news. She's very current on current events. She doesn't listen to music. Like, she's not like your average teenager. And we talk, you know, about the news and current events and things like that. So when she said that, I was so baffled as to what to tell her.
Well, you let her know the truth, you know, because, see, the white supremacy has become so refined now. If a child is looking at television, and this is where a lot of young children get their information from. They get it from MTV, VH1, all the television shows. And if you look at television, you think everything is cool. You think white and black people hang out. You think the Kardashians, you know, they date black, so everything is cool. And what they see on television is refined white supremacy. They make it seem like everything is cool, everything is equal, everything is kumbaya. But then when people step into the courtroom, you'll see they'll let a stone killer walk, just like they did with Michael Slager. They're going to have another trial for him. But the fact that they let him get a mistrial shows the mentality of the country. The fact that Donald Trump even got in showed the mentality of the country, that we're dominated by white supremacy. And that's something that we have to drive home into the minds of black children, because a lot of them, unfortunately, you know, they might have a cool white friend who's real hip and funny and who they really enjoy being around, but they have to understand that white kid will be treated differently than them. They can't do the same thing as the white kid. I always tell black kids that, because your white kid can go out there and pull pranks or do whatever, and the stuff that they do as pranks and get not even slaps on the wrist, they just get brushed off. Hell, we get life sentences for. So we have to drive that in the mind. Go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But we were also talking about how that guy, well, he's in jail now, but how he got let go for shooting that ex-NFL player.
Absolutely.
And she was like, Mom, she was like, if you was to do that, she was like, they will have you in jail. I said, they will dig a hole, put me in it, and build a jail on top of Mama.
Yeah.
If some things like that would have happened to me. And it's just to the point that I always tell my kids the truth, the brutal truth, because as parents, that's our job, because a lot of people, they want to make it to their child like it's all rainbows and lollipops.
Right.
And things like that. And I don't do that with my children. I never did it with any of our children.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's just mind-boggling to me that my daughter would actually think we would go back to slavery.
Yeah.
Because she sees what's going on at 16.
Yeah.
She sees everything that's going on. And as a parent, you know, I do tell her the truth, but I want to ask you, because you're married, you have children, what more can I do? It's like, you know,
just tell her the truth. That's just because, look, I have a 17-year-old. My daughter just turned 17. So you just got to tell them the truth and let them know what the deal is and let them know what's going on. You know, my boys are too young now, because they're like all under 4 years old. But you tell those older children, definitely let them know what the deal is and tell them the truth. And that's the best thing you can do, and drive the truth home to them. But let me get the other calls. Thank you for the call, sister. I had to. The sister's kind of long-winded. Shout out to her. You know, she wanted some answers, gave us some answers. Y'all go to More Russ if you don't have More Russ. We're still getting the Android version of More Russ popping. If you don't have More Russ, go to More Russ, MORUS.com. That's the social media app that we all need to be on. Y'all can follow me at Tariq Nasheed. This is something that we own and control, family. We need to be on that on code chopping up game. Everybody should have a Morris page. Everybody. Even if it's a backup page, if you still want to use all that other shit, you need Morris's backup just to have it so we can communicate. A lot of people like the Alex Jones parody puppet that I posted on the Tariq Live YouTube page. It's Oinky Jones. It's a pig. It's Oinky Jones, the conspiracy pig. It's funny as hell. Go to TariqLive.com and check that out. And we got some more puppet skits coming, some more crispy skits, some more Rolly the Boule Bird skits. There's a real funny one that we're going to be filming in a couple of weeks. I want to knock it out before the holidays, but it's some real funny shit, man. But let me chop up game. Let me talk about some stuff I want to talk about today. I want to talk about Dusty Hotep con niggas. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the Dusty Hotep nigga con. Earlier today, well, I think it started yesterday, but or the day before, but there was a Dusty Hotep nigga. And that, when I say Dusty Hotep nigga, I'm differentiating them from the conscious community. You got conscious people, you got scholars, you got knowledgeable people, and then you just got a bunch of Dusty Hotep niggas. And it was one Dusty Hotep nigga, he was streaming my films live on Facebook, so I had to shut it down. But I a lot of times I will give somebody a warning before I shut their shit down. I'll say, hey, man, take my shit down, man. You got a couple of hours to take my shit down, or I'm going to take it down. So then you got niggas who try to be, you know, little assholes about it and keep it up anyway. Then I get their shit shut down. Because y'all know I do not like people posting up my material for free. My copyrighted material, I just don't like it posted up for free. I don't give a shit about what type of Dusty Hotep nigga justification you use in your mind. I don't like it posted up. So this nigga emailed me. He sent me a message. Then he blocked me because I couldn't message him back. He's like, why? The same Dusty Hotep nigga shit I've been hearing ever since we've done Hidden Colors. Hey, man, why you have it taken down? And he looks so dusty. He's a dusty, big, sloppy nigga. Just ungroomed, unkept. He just the typical dusty, fat, sloppy nigga. And he's like, come on, man, why you have it taken down? What's more important, people getting the knowledge or you getting some money? What's more important, man, the knowledge, people getting that knowledge? That same con-ass bullshit that they don't really give a shit about to justify doing slick shit. What it is with Dusty fake Hotep niggas, family? Dusty fake Hotep niggas care nothing about y'all getting some damn knowledge. They could care less. They're more motivated by stopping another person who's black from making a profit. That's their motivation. Giving somebody some damn knowledge is not their motivation. You can go give knowledge by going in the community, helping out with kids. There's a lot of shit that you can actually do for free if you are about doing the knowledge. And they would have things to show that they are doing in the community, that they are out there doing in the community, which none of them do shit. Their main motivation is that dusty crab in the barrel Hotep nigga. I don't want to see the next nigga make more money than me, so let me sabotage your shit because you black, I'm black, and a black person doing some shit that I should be doing makes me look bad, so let me get in the mix and act like I'm doing something by giving your shit away for free. Dusty Hotep niggas could care less about the knowledge being spread. They could care less. I always tell, and Dusty Hotep niggas, if you're listening, if you were so concerned about people getting the knowledge, then you would have come up with your own resources and went out there and put together a project like mine or like anybody's and distributed it any way you wanted to distribute it. If you were that concerned about people getting knowledge. But really, it's all about, let me bring you back down here with me. Let me bring you down on dusty level with me, because dustiness loves company. And I'm looking at the dude's page, and this one person who I thought it was this chick, but I think it was his mother. And his mother, you know, got the lace front on, all her pictures, she's posing with her ass stuck out. You know, one of those types. The mom got a bunch of grown kids and she's still taking pictures with her ass stuck out. So that just shows the kind of nigga that women like that raise. You can tell the kind of dudes niggas are based on who's raising them. And you got a lot of dusty hotep niggas who grew up with hood rat mothers who sat up waiting on a man to give them something. And usually the man is the government. And I'm just talking about hood rats. This is not indicative of sisters as a whole at all. Let's be clear, because I hate when they try to put that welfare queen bullshit on sisters. No, 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 no. There's a very specific group of rats that raise dusty niggas. It's a very specific type. And a lot of these women grew up, like I've talked about before, waiting on their check, screaming on social workers, my check ain't came. I ain't got my check. They've seen that all their lives. Their mothers hollering at somebody about some damn money that they supposed to get. I'm supposed to get some money in my Section 8. I'm supposed to get. They've been hearing I'm supposed to get all their lives. I'm supposed to get my food stamps by the 1st. I'm supposed to get my WIC by the 15th. I'm supposed. So when you have a dude listening to a single mother yelling about I'm supposed to get. Dudes start thinking, okay, well, damn. I got to look to other men. And since I can't play that shit with white men as a grown man, that shit don't work on a white man. I can't run up to a white man as a black person, as a black man, by the way, and say, I'm supposed to get. Now, hood rat mom can do that. But when black men grow up and try that, they see that it don't work on white men. Like, no, nigga, you ain't supposed to get shit but the fuck out of my face before I arrest your ass. That's why jails are full of niggas talking about what they're supposed to get. I'm supposed to get 3 meals a day. I'm supposed to get medical attention. I'm supposed to get dental. I'm supposed to get a free phone call. I'm supposed to get my public defender. You got niggas in jail talking that. I ain't supposed to be in here. I'm supposed to get a trial date. Niggas sitting in jail talking that I'm supposed to get shit. I've seen it. I've been to jail many times. When I'm in jail, I'm quiet and I'm thinking, okay, how the fuck did I get up in here? How did I get twisted? And how do I get up out of here? I'm in thinking mode. I ain't talking about how I'm supposed to get nothing. But niggas being there talking that I'm supposed to get shit. I'm supposed to get. And then you have these dusty ass niggas. They can't do that I'm supposed to get for white males. So then they turn to other black males who are doing something, because usually dusty niggas hang around other dusty niggas. But when they see a progressive black person doing something, they turn to them on that I'm supposed to get your shit for free. I'm supposed to get, I'm black, I need the knowledge. We need the knowledge. We need it for free. What you making all that money for? I'm supposed to get. Is that I'm supposed to get shit that you got from your mom. Which is some cancerous bullshit that a lot of brothers are going to have to get up off of. Brothers are going to have to get up off that I'm supposed to get when they're talking to another man or dealing with another man. Because you know that I'm supposed to get shit started in the 1960s. That started in the mid-60s, that dusty nigga I'm supposed to get bullshit. Because when they started giving out all of that food stamp, WIC, Section 8, all that shit in the mid-60s, that's when a lot of women started that I'm supposed to get shit. And then brothers got on that I'm supposed to get. Because back in the 60s, you had a lot of dusty dudes in very small pockets. It wasn't an epidemic, but you had a small pocket of dusty dudes who were living off the women on Section 8 and on the county and the projects. You had dudes living off that on the low. So the women were like going to white daddy talking about I'm supposed to get. And then the dusty dudes start going to the women. I'm supposed to get you my woman. You supposed to get me this. You supposed to get me shoes. You supposed to get. I'm supposed to get. I'm your woman. It's that type of shit. And then dudes start taking that out in the streets to the black businesses. And this is one of the reasons we got to be very clear and we got to be very honest. While a lot of the black businesses fell off in the 1960s, because when they had integration popping and you had the dusty nigga epidemic starting to take hold and the hood rat epidemic in its genesis, you had white daddy giving government supplements, and now black people can go to different stores. You can now go to Woolworths, and you can go to Sears and Roebuck, and you can go to all these other places. You didn't have to be confined just into the black Negro section of town spending your money. So when these new niggas in the 1960s were able to go into these other stores in these other areas to spend money, the dusty niggas started acting like they were doing a favor to the black businesses just by showing up. Like, shit, I'm here. And nigga, while I'm here, I'm supposed to get some of this for free. I can go to the white liquor store. I'm in your liquor store. I'm helping you out. So, brother, while I'm in here, you need to give me some of this Thunderbird for free. Why? Because I'm black like you. See, that shit started in the 60s when men are stepping to other black men, especially black business owners, with that I'm supposed to get shit, which killed off a lot of black businesses. That's why a lot of black business owners said, hey, there's a new crop of Asian people starting to come in, because Asian people started coming in the country after 1965 in very large numbers. So after the late 60s and early 70s, a lot of the black businesses were like, well, fuck, man, I can't really survive with these I'm supposed to get niggas. So they started selling their businesses to the Koreans. This was in the late 60s, early 70s, but really in the 70s, when a lot of these black businesses started to sell off their stores and the little mom and pop operations to the Asians. And when the Asians came in, brothers couldn't do that I'm supposed to get shit. The Asians shut that I'm supposed to get shit right on down. They were like, you buy now or you leave. I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. They owe you shit. So those dusty ass niggas, they've always been a cancer to black society. These dusty bum ass I'm supposed to get, let me bootleg your shit. It's that fake Robin Hood bullshit that niggas try to pretend that they're on. And for those who don't know the story of Robin Hood, it's an old story about Robin Hood, this folk hero who robbed from the rich to give to the poor. And a lot of brothers have that fake Hotep Robin Hood thing that they want to pretend that they're on, but they are not. They are not on no Robin Hood shit. It's all about robbing from the black rich just for the sake of robbing for the black rich. They and pretend that they're doing it for the poor. They could give less than a damn about the black masses. And let me be very clear on something. I don't care about everybody getting the knowledge. When dudes say, well, man, everybody needs the knowledge, man. Don't you want everybody to get the knowledge? Hell no. I'm going to say that again. I do not care about everybody getting the knowledge. Because the knowledge don't mean nothing if you ain't going to do shit with it and be on code with the knowledge. If you a Dusty Hotep nigga bootlegging my shit or anybody else's shit, you don't get it. So the knowledge was lost on you. I don't care about everybody getting the knowledge. I only care about the people who are going to implement the knowledge for empowerment. That's the only thing I care about. That's why, look, I got a large following. I got a large following, man. Hundreds of thousands of people tune in, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. YouTube. Big time. But the thing is, you know, I'm very aware some people are here for entertainment value. Some people are here to implement what's popping. And I really focus on the ones who are there to implement what I'm saying. That's more important to me. That's why it's all about the 300. I always talk about, I just need my 300. I just need 300 people that's all on code. We're on code. We're on the same page. You can move mountains if you have at least 300 people, just at least 300 on code. When we did the first Hidden Colors, it was less than 300 people who contributed to the original Hidden Colors. It was less than 300. I got to look at the official numbers. It was like two something. It was 200 and something people who contributed to the original Hidden Colors. And do you know those couple of hundred people literally helped change history? Hidden Colors is historic. That just changed the game. Hidden Colors changed how black history documentaries are done. I mean, you see so many documentaries in the same style of Hidden Colors now, all on Netflix, using the same people. So many people are awakened globally off that documentary, off the help of less than 300 damn people. Changed fucking history. Made the best-selling documentary series in the world. Hidden Colors, I think Hidden Colors 4 is still number 9 right now in the top 10. Small group, man. All it takes is a small group of people being on the same page. I don't need everybody with the damn knowledge because I know everybody ain't going to be on code. Some people just want to be entertained by knowledge. So that does nothing for the group collectively. If we're not going to implement this shit and use it to empower, to get things tangible, to get resources going in, to get an economy going so that we can build, so we can build politics, so that we can build a judicial system, so that we can create a justice system, so that we can create an educational system on our own, then people are just bullshitting. I need 300 that's on point all the time, right there, locked and loaded, ready to do what they need to do to build and empower. That's the most important thing. I can give a fuck about some dusty ass nigga sitting up and I'm twisting his arm to make him learn something. See, black folks, we got this thing where people who don't want to learn, we're like, man, I got a cousin, man, he on that bullshit. He act like he don't want to learn. How can I teach him? Leave him. I don't give a fuck about twisting nobody's arm. I'm not trying to oversell the shit. We got to be on point right now. I'm so cool. I'm not in the recruiting business.
it's too late in the day to be recruiting niggas and then going back and forth scuffling with dusty ass niggas. No. It's too late in the day for that, family. These white supremacists are heavily on code. These white supremacists are major on code, and their coons are on code with them. These coons are coming out in droves at this point. The cooning and the bedwinching is major heavy right now. And speaking of that, shout out to everybody on my Facebook page. There was a couple of Negro bedwinches who posted up a fake story talking about, I said some shit about slavery wasn't so bad for black women. Every 3 or 4 months, there's some coons or some bedwinches who post fake stories about me. And let me say this, if you're dumb enough, anybody who's dumb enough to believe any of those clickbaiting stories, you shouldn't be following me anyway. Because that's another thing. Niggas who are just so easily duped by utter bullshit, I don't need you in the mix. You know, it's time to cut some damn dead weight with the shit that's going on now. It's time to cut dead fucking weight. If you can be manipulated by dumb shit and... Those bedwinches, there's a page that Crispy made. There's a YouTube page, one of Crispy's pages. It's called Ebola. He has a bunch of troll videos that he cuts up. He cuts up some of my videos and put fake titles on it. It's Crispy. I found out, I've confirmed that it's one of Crispy's troll pages. So if you're using a page from a known coon troll and using that to troll further, y'all shouldn't even be in my mix, period. Too many of us in black society, too many black folks gravitate towards the stupidest, dumbest shit ever. But when you're trying to give them some knowledge, you got to force feed them knowledge. But you throw some stupid shit out there, they're just like a bunch of pigeons. That shit has to go. We got to get rid of the pigeons and go for the eagles, man. Eagles don't eat everything. You understand that? Pigeons will. Let me get one more call before we get out of here, family. What's up? Who's calling?
Yeah, this is Ken. I'm in.
I can barely hear you, brother. Can you speak up?
Can I be heard now? Is that better?
Oh man, let me turn my music off for a minute because you are hella low. What's going on? What's your name, brother?
Yeah, my name is Ken. I'm in Los Angeles. I just moved into the area from Chicago.
Oh, okay. So what's on your mind, Ken?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of, I'm really confused about like what would be a really cool spot to stay in while I'm here. I'm thinking about Long Beach. I work in Orange County and I do a lot of comedy in Los Angeles. I just want a cool like midpoint. What do you suggest?
Oh, so you're a comedian?
I do comedy.
Okay, so you're going to have to be somewhere closer to Hollywood because you're going to have to start working around Melrose, Sunset, places like that, right?
Right, but my day job is in Orange County.
Oh, damn. Okay, see, that's a... Fuck, man, how'd you get a job all the way in Orange County?
That's the way it worked out.
Now, where are you staying now?
I'm currently staying in like Tustin in that area.
Okay, I know where that is. Well, shit, you I guess you got to stay closer to where your job is, but that's way far from everything else if you're trying to be a comic, man, because you're gonna have to be, you know, closer to Hollywood. But if you got a day job, that drive is a bitch, man. Going from L.A. to Orange County in the morning, no, that's not gonna work. So you got to kind of make a decision, man. Try to get transferred to some shit, or, just when you do comedy, try to get a little motel somewhere in Hollywood. You got to really work your schedule out. It's hard to really try to get into the entertainment business while you have what we call a square job. You know, sometimes when you come out here, man, you might have to find you a hood rat to stay with or something, and you know, While you do your comedy. Yeah,
I was wondering about that. Like, I was just wondering if any of your hood rat listeners, if you guys are in need, you know, of a live-in dude, you know, I can definitely hook it up.
Well, I don't have too many hood. I don't have hood rat listeners. That's the thing. They can't help you. So
thanks a lot, man. But and one more thing. Also, I'm getting my start here, and things are going great. I'm hosting a room. I'm working with somebody, but the guy that's kind of like mentoring me at the moment, he's a bit of a kind of a megalomaniac type. He doesn't like to, you know, I did some stuff to increase traffic to one of his events tremendously, and he appreciated the increase in traffic, but he didn't appreciate the fact that I did stuff that I knew that I didn't tell him about. You know, it's just these sort of things. How do you best navigate those personalities? And would it even be best to just not mess with this person and just try to strike it out on my own? Or
yeah, just kind of do your own thing, man. Just kind of strike it out on your own and do your own thing, brother. But thanks for the call. Okay, that motherfucker sounds weird, don't he? That was a weird sounding motherfucker right there. He said, "What my hood rat listeners?" I didn't like that. You can't diss my ladies who's listening. I don't have no hood rat listeners. All my lady listeners are thorough. Yeah, I can see why he's in Orange County. When niggas be in Orange County, they be fucking with them white women out there. When you see it, ladies, you ever meet a dude in L.A.? He's like, yeah, I hang out in Orange County. You know, that means he's fucking with a lot of white chicks. I ain't knocking niggas for fucking with the white chicks. But when niggas say that, that's a red flag. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, it is Kelly Michelle.
You finally got through. You've been texting me like, I can't get through. I know the line.
I'm like, you know, I was trying to buy some crack or something. Trying to get through. But anyway, I just wanted to actually say that I commend you on all of your endeavors and everything that you are trying to do. And I appreciate it. I know that I've told you this, but you stay in your lane.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
That's important, you know, that you haven't been caught up in trying to associate yourself with, you know, these people who are claiming to uplift the black community but are robbing the black community.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty much, you know, what I wanted to say. I mean, it's very enlightening to kind of see a brother doing his thing, and you can actually reach out and touch his products.
Absolutely.
You know, and not something on Facebook Live that you're pretending to be and so forth. You can, you know, you have tangible items.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Are you, Kelly, you got a Morris page? You're on Morris, right?
Yes, I am.
Let everybody know what your page is.
Well, it's Kelly Michelle, actually. KelleMichelle. Kelly Michelle.
And how is Brother Olu, by the way?
He's doing great. He's back in back behind the bench, and you know, he's trying his cases and so forth. So he's moving forward.
Good, 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 good. We got to talk about that privately. But thank you so much, Kelly.
All right, you take care.
All right. One more call, y'all. Let's get one more call before we get out of here. Late night show. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hey, who is this?
This is Kevin from D.C.
Kenneth?
I just picked up.
What's your name, brother?
Kevin from D.C., Washington, D.C.
Kevin from D.C. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Hey, I made a comment on your in the chat box about the Moynihan Report.
Okay, yeah.
And I had just...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Kevin,
I had just got finished... I didn't read all of it. I read about half of it. And I was looking at some on YouTube about it, and it talked about one of the things that struck me was it how it talked about the pathology in the black community, and how a lot of the men, how the men was like stripped of his role during slavery, and he never really recovered. Like in the black community, that masculine presence is missing.
Yeah,
and when people used to tell me you know, the black family is messed up because of slavery. I was kind of indifferent towards it. And I'm like, man, that's years ago. How is it still messed up? And when I read that one hand report, it just, you know, it made sense. Somebody else was telling me a pathology can last thousands of years. I don't know that shit.
But the thing is that when people talk about the black community is messed up because of slavery, understand this, white supremacy itself is slavery. See, when we talk about slavery in the antebellum sense, we think just, okay, picking cotton. But after black folks picked cotton, slavery wasn't over because the psychological thing that was going on, meaning that we were under the white supremacists and you were being mistreated by the white supremacists and you didn't know what to do about it. Because that's, according to Neely Fuller, that's all slavery is. You're being mistreated and you don't know what to do about it. So black folks, we've never gotten from under that. And in the 1950s and 60s or whatever, the economic castration and all of these other things caused the breakup of the so-called family, because they said, okay, we need to start attacking these families and breaking them up because these people are finding strength in their family. So we're going to have to break that all the way up. So every issue we have, when people start talking about, well, black folks need to take responsibility, our responsibility is to look at the white supremacists and figure out what they're trying to do to harm us. Because every problem that we have is orchestrated by the white supremacists, and there are no exceptions whatsoever. You understand that?
Yeah.
All right, brother. Thank you for the call, brother. All right, y'all. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuned in tonight. We had fun tonight. Hey, don't forget, man, y'all go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Go to TariqElite.com to get all that fresh gear. That's TariqElite.com. And also, you guys can check out my books if you don't have them. Go to Amazon. You can get The Art of Mackin'. You can get Player Be Played. You can get The Mac Within. You can get The Art of Gold Digging. You can get The Elite Way. All those good books, ladies and gentlemen. You can get Black Players. That's the book that I wrote the foreword to, but it was written by somebody else, and I bought the rights to that book. So you can check that out. And follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Go to YouTube, go to my Tariq Live page, and subscribe to that so you can get videos immediately. And also, you can check out the brand new Oinky Jones video. Very funny.